today that the word of God will go forth and that the word of God will enlighten our eyes and will lighten our understanding, and we will know who we are and what you expect from us, and that we would be better prepared to enter into a new season of new beginnings in a new year with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise God. What we're going to talk about today is new beginnings. New beginnings. Like I said, I was going to wait and go over this on Wednesday, but the Lord led me to speak about this today to prepare us for what we're going to enter into on Wednesday. But we're going to deal with new beginnings. And if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians, the third chapter, so that we can begin there. Philippians chapter number 3. And let's start reading with verse number 9. Verse number 9 says, Philippians the third chapter, verse number 9, "And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, be made comfortable unto his death, if by any means that I might obtain unto the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not as though I have already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Now, we're talking about new beginnings. New beginnings in Christ Jesus. We're talking about another year has gone past. A lot of things have transpired through the 365 days that we've been alive upon. Well, it's not quite 365 yet, but for the 300 some odd days that we've lived upon the earth for the previous year and the things that we went through, we had some stumbles, we had some falls, we had some victories, we had some overcoming areas that we overcame in. We had a lot of different things that went on in our life. But what I want to focus on today is doing what this scripture here is saying. Not being found in God, trying to make your way your own self in your own form of righteousness. But being found in God, walking and loving and operating being of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, how do you do that? Paul went on and he began to explain, not believing that because of some level that I've already obtained or acquired in my life, that I've already reached a certain point. But Paul goes on to say this, I haven't gotten there yet, but one thing that I've learned to do. And the one thing that I've learned to do is to continue to forget what is behind me. Now, a lot of times when we read this scripture, we only talk about the things that we've done bad, the things that we failed in, the shortcomings in our failures. We usually focus on those. But I want to encourage you today to not only focus on leaving behind the things that have caused you to stumble and fall, but there are some victories that we have had this year that we also need to, you know, we've enjoyed them. We spend time and worship and praise with God about over them and concerning them. But you don't want to get stuck there. Right. And there's a lot of people that overcome in areas, and then when they overcome, they stop. Okay. But God wants us to continue to move forward. Continue to press on. If you notice, Paul says, this one thing that I do, I forget what is behind and I press forward to what's ahead. I press towards a higher calling in God. Even though you might have had successes in every area of your life, well, that doesn't mean that you've reached the level to where you can stop and sit down and rest now. There's another level that God is going to call for you to reach forward to. One thing that you need to always remember, anytime you stop, I don't care in any area of your life. Anytime you reach a plateau and stop, the moment you stop, you start to decline. It just happens that way. Anything that reaches its peak and doesn't have any more momentum to continue to go forward eventually starts to decline. So you don't want to get yourself in a position of thinking that I've already obtained, I've already made, I've already accomplished this certain thing that I've been wanting to accomplish in my life. I've gotten there. And so now that I'm there, I'm just going to stop and I'm going to relax now and enjoy myself and just live life. Well, no, keep pressing. Continue to improve yourself. Now, if there are areas in your life to where you've had shortcomings and you've had failures in, also, we need to lay those things aside going out of this year that we're in now. We need to make sure that we are not continuing to allow ourselves to be stuck in our past, and we need to make sure that we're not allowing ourselves to be stuck in the present either. We want to always be pressing towards God's future for us. And God has a future for everybody in this room. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, he says he knows the thoughts and the plans that he thinks about you. There are thoughts, there are plans that God has thought and planned over your life. There are places that God is wanting to take you. He says that these plans and these thoughts are for your welfare, for your future. They're not for any evil. They're to bring you unto your final expectation in him. So if God has thoughts and plans for our lives and purposes for our lives, then it's our responsibility to get in the presence of God and find out what they are. Maybe you went to school for a certain career. Well, there is a plan that God may have, there is a plan that God will take what you went to school for and use it, and it will benefit humanity in some way. Now, I don't know all the facets of how God is going to take your life and work through you and what all he's going to do in your life. That's not my responsibility to find that out. My responsibility is to tell you that God has a plan for you, and your responsibility is to go see God and find out, where do I fit? Where does this plan that you have for my life, where does it fit for the season that I'm in now? So we don't want to get stuck in our past. We don't want to get stuck in our present, but we want to always be looking forward to our futures. We want to always be looking forward to the freshness of God. We want to always be reaching for a new beginning. There are new seasons and new beginnings at every phase of your life. When I was born into the earth, that was a new beginning for me. When I got born again, a new beginning for me. When I went from being a lay member to a minister, that was a new beginning for me. When I went from being a minister to pastor, that was a new beginning for me. And at each junction, it's a new beginning because I'm starting, I'm embarking on a new journey that I haven't walked before. So everybody in this room, you have new beginnings. Seasons come to a close and then new seasons open. If you go back over in the 23rd Psalms, it says that he leads me in green pastures. It says that the shepherd leads the flock to green pastures. But if you've ever noticed, if the sheep continue to try to eat from the same pasture year in and year out, they will eventually die. Why? The grass runs out. So the shepherd's responsibility is to lead the sheep to green pastures. So we eat here for a while. But when the season changes, it's time to move on. If I continue to try to live in my past, I will eventually die out. If I continue to try to live in the present, I will eventually die out. I got to constantly be moving towards a new calling in God. You saw that story. It's a story over in the Old Testament about Elijah when there was a famine that came over the earth. And God took him down and fed him by a raven. A raven brought him food every day, and he drank water from the brook every single day. Now, that was a season for him. And in that season, God took care of him, even though it was famine everywhere else. No water anywhere else, no food anywhere else. But this raven brought him food every day by the order of God, and the brook gave him fresh water to drink. But the Bible goes on and says that the brook dried up and the raven stopped coming. So what would have happened if Elijah said, well, you know what? God has taken care of me here at this place, so I'm just going to stay and wait. Maybe the raven will come back. Maybe the water will start running again. He would eventually die because it didn't say in the Bible that it ever restarted over again. But the Bible did say that the word of the Lord came unto him and said, now, in so many words, I took care of you here, but now I need for you to get up from this place and go down to Zarephath where I have a widow that I've spoken to take care of you. So he left that season and took a new journey and went to another place where God still was able to sustain him with life through the meal that did not run out in Nevada or that did not run out down at the widow's house. But it was a new season. The old season ended, the new season began, and it was his responsibility to follow God's voice and move with God. And every time he moved with God, and every time you move with God, when you get to your new season, there will be a fresh new a pile of resources there for you. It'll be a fresh anointing there for you. There'll be fresh concepts, fresh ideas, fresh insights. There'll be a freshness of life there for you every time you get there. Amen. Now, one of the main things that we have to make sure that we don't do as people and as believers, one of the main things that we need to not do if we're going to ever continue to go and walk in new beginnings, we cannot let sin, that we cannot, well, how can I put this? Let me put it this way. God is not holding sin against you. And a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people think that God is angry with them. God is not holding sin against you. Your sins are holding you captive from God. Always remember that. God is not angry with anyone. It is not sin that is keeping you from the goodness of God. It's not God keeping the goodness from you because of sin. Let me correct myself. Most people say because I haven't done such and such and such that God hasn't allowed this to happen for me yet. Or when a bad thing happens in our life, we say then automatically our minds start trying to figure out what do we do to cause this to happen. But God is not angry with you. God does not operate like that. The Bible says God is the God of love. And always remember, He is not holding sin against you. Your sin is what's holding you captive from God. And we're going to look at that. Amen. Because God has already dealt with sin. God is not worried about sin anymore. He sent Jesus. Jesus completely destroyed sin and all the sin was and is and can ever be. It is completely destroyed. The power of it has been completely broken off of humanity. Now it's humanity's job to get up and rise up and walk out of the prison. The door has been completely snatched off of its hinges. But so many people decide to continue to live inside the prison even though there's no door on the cell. Why? Because we think that God is holding our sins against us. The devil has convinced humanity that you can never be good enough to obtain the best from God, and that is a lie. Because God has already given to humanity His best, His only Son. Amen. Let's look at Zechariah, the 9th chapter, and I'll begin to show this to you. Because if you're going to walk in new beginnings, you got to know that you're free. Amen. Saved or unsaved, you are as free as you could ever be. Because God has given back to you the ability to make your own decision. Before Christ Jesus came, you did not have the right to choose whether or not you would live or die. Now, when I say live or die, I'm not talking about cease to exist in the flesh. That is not death, people. Death is being separated from God. Death is ending up in hell and where the love of God can no, where you can no longer benefit from the love of God. God's love can still reach to the depths of hell, but you can't benefit from it anymore. Why? I made a decision while I was alive in my flesh not to serve God, not to love God, not to partake of what He has given unto me. So when I make that type of decision, what I do is I disconnect myself from God. And if I end up leaving the face of this earth without making that decision, then what has happened is I have chosen to put myself in a position to where God's love can no longer benefit me in hell. But you're free to make that decision. See, and before Jesus Christ came, you was not free to make that decision. Everybody was bound to death, separation from God forever because Adam sinned. Satan took over. And from that point forward, everybody was bound to that one faith. But when Jesus Christ came, He gave every single body upon the face of the earth freedom to choose what path they will walk in. Amen. Now, sin is not your problem. Now, I'm getting ready to read some scriptures here to let you see God has freed you and He's not mad at you. He's not angry with you. He loves you. And He's always trying every morning you wake up and you can take another breath. That is God's mercy, His love trying to reach you, trying to reach out to you, trying to draw you to His bosom. Because there's so much that He has in store for you. There's so many things that God has that he wants to show you and do through you, but he has to get you over to an area where you can receive it. Amen. Now, let's look at Zechariah chapter 9. Let me read verses 11 and 12, but I want to read them from my Amplified Bible. So it reads a little different than some of your King James, but just follow along with me in your Bible. It says, as for you also. Now, notice what he's getting ready to say. Because of and for the sake of the covenant of the Lord with his people, which was sealed with the sprinkled covenant blood. Whose blood? Jesus. Amen. Now he's saying, now, as for the covenant that I've made with humanity through the blood of Jesus, Jesus actually allowed himself to suffer on our behalf. The Bible said that he emptied his own blood out of his body, took it to heaven, and sealed and ratified a covenant that God made that he would save the souls of man. Not just Jew, but Gentile and Jew alike. Amen. So now, for the sake of that covenant, he says, I have released you and sent your imprisoned people out of the waterless pit. Now, think about a waterless pit. And I guess the best way to explain that to you would be a swimming pool. You take about a 25-foot swimming pool. If there's no ladder in it and no water in it and you're in it, how can you get out? You can't get out. It's impossible for you to get out of a swimming pool where there's no ladder in it or any water in it. You cannot get out of it. The walls are too slick and they're too steep. There's no hope for you ever escaping. And the Bible here says that because of the covenant, I've released you from a waterless pit. Amen. Now, the only way that you're going to get out of a swimming pool without a ladder is you're going to have to wait for it to fill up with water. And as it fills, it'll raise you to the top and then you can get off over the side. Well, the Bible says that the word of God is the water is a representative of the word of God. So God has filled a waterless pit with his word. And the Bible said that Jesus Christ is the word. In the beginning was the word was God, and the word was with God, and the same was with him in the beginning. The Bible goes on and says, and the word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ has filled the pit and has filled it up to the point to where now it is your choice whether you stay in the pit or whether you get out. All you have to do is make a choice. Amen. Now it says, after he says, I've released you from this water, this pit, verse 12, now, because you're free, because that's exactly what that is meaning, because you're free. And I said, you are freer now than you ever can be, have ever. There's no more. You can be no freer now than you are now, than you are right at this moment. Now, if you're saved, all you've done is you've accepted your freedom. If you're an unsaved person, you are still allowing the prison guard, who is the devil, to hold you in jail, even though your ransom, your bond has been paid. Amen. Now, because I freed you by releasing from the waterless pit because of the blood of Jesus, return to the stronghold of your security and prosperity, you prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will restore double your former state of prosperity. Now, because you're free, you have to make a choice. What is the choice? Return to me. Come back to me. I love you. And when you come back to me, because I freed you because of the blood and the promise that I made with my son, and that freedom has come unto you, I've released you from the waterless pit. Now make a choice. Return to me. I'm your security. I'm your prosperity. And not only am I those things, but when you come back over here, I'm going to restore double everything that your life, that the devil has stolen out of your life. God is not trying to take nothing from you. He's trying to get things to you. Now, this here lets you see that God has freed you. He says the covenant came, was made, the blood of Jesus sealed it. I've released you from your waterless pit. Now make a choice and come back to me. And if you make a choice to come back to me, what you're coming back to is security. And that's what all human beings, whoever they are, I don't care who you are and what they say, they want security. They want to know that my life is secure. Why else do we go out and work jobs, 6-7 jobs? We want to make sure that our lives are secure. Why else do we put car alarms on our house, on our cars and alarms on our house, and some people go and buy guns, and they want to make sure that my life's secure. Well, Jesus said, come unto me, I'm your security. Everybody wants prosperity. And when you say prosperity, most people just think of money, but that's not the only thing that prosperity includes. There's total life prosperity. I want to be healthy. What good is to have a bunch of money in the bank and be broke? Or to be broke and be as healthy as you can be? You want to be healthy with money. I want to have the money and be able to enjoy it. I don't want to have to get on an airplane. I barely can breathe with an oxygen machine trying to go on vacation. Well, that ain't no fun.
That's true.
You know, what fun is that? Jesus here said, I'm your security and I'm your prosperity. Mm-hmm. Come back unto me. Let me restore back to you double everything that the devil has destroyed in your life. Amen. That is the message that Jesus Christ has tried and has been preaching and has been teaching throughout all these 2,000 some odd years. Mm-hmm. I'm here to restore back to you what you've lost. Amen. Now, look at Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Start reading verse number 8. Psalms 103, verse number 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Now, this is the word of God. This is not my opinion. This is what the Bible is saying about God. He says that he is slow to anger, but he has a lot of mercy and a lot of grace. Mm-hmm. Verse 9, number 9 says, he will not always strive, neither will he keep his anger forever. He said he is not going to be angry with you forever. God is not mad at us anymore. God is not angry with you anymore. Amen. But people will tell you, the devil will tell you, you know, you'll never be nothing. You'll never amount to too much. Or you'll come into, and I'll just be honest with you on this morning. And there's some churches that you can go in, they're turning nose up at you. You know, they have this division in the church where there's the holy ones over here, and we don't know what these people over here is doing, but, you know, we holy. So the holy folks go sit on this side, and y'all can't come over here. This is our group, because y'all, we don't want to be contaminated. What are you talking about? Jesus Christ said, the Bible says that Jesus told them, I didn't come for the people that's already well, I came for the folks that's sick. Because if you're already well, you don't need a doctor, in so many words. So I'm here for the ones who are hurting. I'm here for the ones who are needing help. That's why I'm here. And so the Bible here said, God said, I'm not going to be angry with you forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins. God is not dealing with us after our sins, nor rewarding us according to our iniquities. He's not punishing you for what you did. God is not in the business of punishing you just because you went out last night and blew it. So this morning you wake up and find out your car got stolen. Then somebody gonna tell you, see, you shouldn't have went out and did that last night. God punishing you. No, God don't operate like that. I mean, how do you tell a mother whose child has got gunned down out there that, you know, God is, you should, you know, God been trying to get you to come to church for the last three years, and you've been turning your back on him and you won't come serving, and that's why your son did. What kind of crap is that? God doesn't talk to, that's not God. That's not the God that I serve. God is a God of love, amen? And God is a God of new beginnings. God is always trying to get you out of the old season over into a new one. He's always trying to bring you from the old to the new. He's not punishing you because of what is going on. God is always there trying to get you out of what's going on. The Bible says it is the devil that comes to steal, to kill and destroy. Jesus says, I come that you might have life.
Yes.
Now, there is no way that you're going to get death and kill it and steal it out of life. They don't go together. There's a distinction there. Mm-hmm. So all the things that are coming and operating and showing up in your life are there as a result of what the enemy is trying to do is destroy you. He's trying to destroy your life to the point to where you won't believe exactly what the message that the world wants you to believe. You cannot be good enough to serve God. You could not be good enough to obtain God's love, and that's a lie, amen? Verse number 11 says, For as the heavens is high above the earth, so is his mercy towards us that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions and sins, or that's what transgressions or sins from us. So the Bible said, as far as the east is from the west, he's removed sin from you. All you have to do is just begin to walk in what he's done. If I came to you and said, I just went to the bank and I've just deposited $2 million in the bank on your behalf. It's yours. And I leave. At that point, you are a millionaire. You have the power to go and buy and get whatever you want to get and buy in life. But if you never go to the bank and get it out, even though you have the power to live in a certain level of life, if you never go to the bank and get it out, it's your fault. I've delivered the money unto you. I've freed you from poverty. I've freed you from debt by giving you the money. And I've told you that it's there. So I have removed you from poverty. I have removed you from debt. But unless you make the choice to go to the bank and utilize what I've given to you, it won't do you any good. And that's what God is saying, and that is what the love of God is saying to us on the earth today. I've moved sin from you, but if you refuse to make the choice to come over and benefit from what I've done, it's not my fault. Because I can only go as far as you allow me to go in your life. God does not force you to do anything. Amen. That's why I said you are freer now than you can ever be in your life. Whatever choice you make, God honors it.
That's right.
He will honor it to the very day you take your last breath. He will protect your choice. That's what makes you different from an angel, amen? That's what makes you like him, because you're able to choose, amen? Look at Isaiah 43. Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Verse 25 says this, I am he. Now notice we said, I am he that blots out your transgressions for my sake.
Amen.
He says, I'm blotting them out for my sake, not for your sake, for my sake. Why? I love you. You know why? Do you know why God created humanity? He wanted a family. Mm-hmm. He wanted children, sons and daughters, who would choose to love him. So he created humanity. And when Adam blew it and the devil started tormenting us, it grieved him to the point to where he sent Jesus. Because he has such a desire to embrace you with his love. He has such a desire to bring blessings and favor and grace and mercy into your life. Amen. So he says, for my own sake, I've blotted out your transgressions. And I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together, declare thou, that thou mayest be justified or be made right in God's eyesight. So now he said, I blotted out your transgressions. I did that for my own sake. And I've chosen not to remember sins, your sins. Now, he can remember them if he wants to, but he has chosen not to. Why? Because I'm not holding your sins against you. Mm-hmm. I have freed you. I'm wanting to love you. And if I keep bringing sin up in your face every time you come talk to me, how many times will you come talk to me? If every time I show it, now put it this way. If every time my children show up and talk to me, and I'm always talking about how bad they are, how dumb they are, how stupid they are, everything they've done wrong, how long do you think it's going to be before my children decide, well, we ain't going to talk to him no more, even though that's your daddy, even though it's daddy? Well, God feels the same way. Every time you come to him, he's not there. If you really know God, every time you come to God and you're talking to God, whether you say to him, say, I don't care who you are. I'm beyond this. God does this with the saved people, and God does this with the unsaved people. God is love.
Yes,
and if you come to him, he will love you. I don't care who you are.
And
so now, when you show up, he's trying to love you. He's releasing love unto you. Why? Because he's wanting to get you out of the old and over into the new. He's wanting to get you out of what has ensnared your life, what is destroying your life, and get you over into the area where you can rest, where you can find joy and peace in him. Amen. So he says, I've blotted out the transgressions. I've chosen not to remember your sins. Now come put me in remembrance of what I've done for you. Accept me. Choose me. Come over here. Fellowship with me. And let me explain to you who I say you are. Because the Bible says God has already identified you and knows who you are. Amen. Now, look with me at Isaiah 54. Now, all this has to do with is God is not holding your sin against you. It's your sins that are holding you captive from God because they're blocking you. Because your sins are steady telling you you're not good enough. Your sins are steady telling you God won't accept you. Your sins are steady telling you you might as well give up. You might as well quit. See? Every time you think you about done made over the top of the hill, you fall back down. See, you'll never make it. See, that's your sin telling you that. And every time you listen to that, you know what you're doing? You're allowing yourself to be pulled further and further away from the love that God has for you. It's not that he's pulling you away. That sin is pulling you back. But at the moment that you, the moment you decide, I'm not letting sin pull me away from God anymore. Father, be the Lord of my life, and you come in and come into me. If you notice, the devil couldn't stop that. Sin couldn't stop it. Wasn't nothing powerful enough to stop you from crossing over into God. Nothing. That's just how weak sin is. God has destroyed it. At any time, at any moment, you decide that I'm getting ready to come up out of this and I'm going to God, the power of sin has been broken. It has no power to stop you from going. And you can just walk free. The day that you really realize how free you are is the day that you won't worry about sin anymore. The moment it really dawns on you how free you are and how much God loves you, it'll be the very day that all of the stumbles and mistakes you make in life, you'll look at them and laugh. And when you do that, then you're walking and you're benefiting from the freedom that God has given to you. Now look at verse number eight says, in a little wrath have I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, says the Lord, thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For I have sworn that I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more goeth over the earth. So have I sworn that I will not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall my covenant of peace be removed from thee, says the Lord that has mercy on thee. Amen. God told Noah, after the flood, that he would never do it again. Mm-hmm. He put a rainbow in the sky as a sign of that covenant promise he made to Noah. Floods would never consume the earth and kill humanity ever again. And it won't. And God is saying here, the same way that I promised Noah that the waters would not cover the earth and destroy humanity anymore, is the same way that I'm promising you that I am not holding sin against you and I am not going to reward you according to your sin, but that I have made a covenant of peace with you. And if you'll come over here and let me, I will perform it in your life. That's exactly what he's saying. He's saying now the hills, the very hills could fall. The very mountains could be removed. But my kindness, which equals his favor, and my covenant, which equals complete wholeness in your life, will never be removed from you. Why? Because Jesus Christ has made it available. And it'll never, nothing will ever move that from you. You will remove yourself from it if you die off the face of the earth and didn't benefit from it. It can't help you anymore in hell. But as long as you're up on the face of this earth and there's breath in your body, you can go. You can step over into that new beginning. Every morning you can step over into your new beginning. Amen. Every morning. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that every single morning that you wake up, every morning, not some, every morning you wake up, mercies have been renewed for you that day. That day. That's the only reason you woke up. If we were to receive, I remember driving down the street one time in the car and I was thinking about this and the Holy Spirit said to me, if I was to allow you, because I was dealing with some stuff that I had did and Lord, I'd never be able to get to where I need to get to because I did this. And the Holy Spirit began to say to me, if I allowed you to receive the reward for the stuff that you did, you would just die on the spot.
Absolutely.
Because if I pull back my hand and allow the devil and sin and to do to you what it really wants to do to you, you couldn't, the capacity of it would be too great for you to even deal with, and you would just stop breathing. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ bore all sins for humanity in his body. And if you go over and ever really read the story about that, he was in hell, almost completely out of existence. So much sin was on him, was eating away at his body. So if God was to pull back his hand and for the stuff that you have done let you actually receive the penalty, it will consume you into death. But because of his grace and his mercy, he has placed there the blood of Jesus, and now the devil doesn't have the right to just come kill you anymore. Sin just does not have the right to just snuff you out because I feel like I want to do it today. Mm-hmm. You have to give sin permission, and you do that by rejecting the promises that God has made for you here in the Word. Amen. You do that by rejecting Jesus. You do that by rejecting the sacrifice that Jesus has made for you.
Amen.
But God says, I'm giving mercies every single day. My mercies and my grace is in the earth every single day. And I'm always reaching to those who accept me. Mm-hmm. He's always reaching. He's reaching every day to the ones that haven't accepted him to get them to accept him. God, I mean, God loves you. God truly, truly loves you. And a lot of us don't know what love is because we've never experienced human real love on a human level. So because we've never experienced love on a human level, really, we don't really understand. You know, what we attribute to love is a feeling that I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you give me something. Now, the closest I think that you can get to the actual love of God in to explain it would be when a mother would say, kill me instead of my child. Now, that's about the closest you're going to get in human terms. But God's love surpasses that. And that's how much love he has for you and how much love he's trying to get into you every single day that you wake up and breath is in your body. Amen. God is not holding sin against you. He is trying to get you over into a new beginning. Now, don't let condemnation keep you in bondage. Stop letting condemnation keep you in bondage. What is condemnation? Condemnation is you knowing that you have done something wrong and I blew it, and you spend time worrying about what you've done wrong instead of doing what Paul said in the beginning, forgetting those things that are behind and moving on. Condemnation is always designed to hold you in bondage. And if you allow it, it will stop you. It will put cement on your feet and hold you in the circumstance that you're in for the rest of your life. That's why if you ever see people that have something, they have done something years ago, and now because of what they've done years ago, they refuse to take a step forward because they don't feel like they're worthy, or they feel like they're always trying to make up for it.
Right.
I got to do something. I got to do this. You know, I hurt you. I know I hurt you. Let me do it. And then 2 years now, you know, I did that thing to you, and I just feel so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 more years go past, and you're saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. That's condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
You're constantly being reminded of your faults. You're constantly being reminded of your failures. And God is not the one doing that. God is trying to pull you over into the new beginning.
Amen.
Amen. Now, look what it says, John 3:16. Because God is not holding sin against you.
Amen.
So if God's not holding sin against me, all I need to do is just say, you know what, Father? I thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for being the Lord of my life. Thank
Amen.
You for salvation.
Yes.
And I'm not going to continue to let the devil talk to me about what I did last week.
Yes.
I did it. I can't go back and change it. But one thing I can do, I can ask you to forgive me. I know you love me. I can ask you to forgive me, and I can walk in a freshness and a newness with you today.
Amen.
I can't fix that yesterday.
Right.
But you know what? Why worry about yesterday? The Word of God already says you don't remember it. You know what I tell the devil when the devil come talk to me about something I did and I messed up? I tell him what you're talking about. God don't remember it, so stop talking to me about it. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't care what I did.
That's right.
My daddy said he ain't remembering it, and I ain't remembering it anymore, so discussion over.
That's right.
And when you just cut him off, then, you know, what can he talk about? If I'm always going to hold my feet, you know what, doggone it, you did this, and you did that, and you did this, and you did that, and if you just, what you talking about? And at some point, they're going to be like, well, they ain't worried about it no more. So I got to go find me a new trick now to use because they ain't worried about that one no more. Mm-hmm. But if you're constantly sitting there and every time he tells you about it, you go back in your mind, you see what you did, you feel how you felt when you did it and all that's going, that's condemnation and it's destroying your life. Yeah. Now look what he says here, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus Christ didn't come to condemn you. But that the world through him might be saved. He came to save you. Amen. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten son of God. Didn't I just say that? It is not God holding sin against you. It's your sin holding you captive from God. God says, everyone that comes and believes me, they're not condemned. But if you choose to continue to go your own way, you're condemned already. Why? Because the very freedom that I sent, the very life that I've given, you are turning your back on it. And it can't help you. Amen. Verse number 19. And this condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hateth the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. Stop allowing what you've done in the past to cause you not to embrace God.
Amen.
See, only those, like the scripture just said, only those that are enjoying where they're at in life continue to hide in the darkness. Everyone that wants to change says, you know what, I'm tired. And they come over to a place where God's light can shine on them. Now, the Bible says, the scripture in the Bible says that your darkness, even the stuff that you do in darkness, is light to God. He knows it anyway.
That's right.
He sees it anyway. It's not a big secret. Remember this. You didn't surprise God when you did what you did. I mean, it's not like you did something. God was like, oh, I can't believe they did that. No, he seen it all.
That's right.
And he knew it was coming.
That's right.
He was trying to warn you. So God wasn't surprised. But then it happened. So now what do you do?
Yeah.
You repent. Lord, I blew it. Forgive me. Now, repentance is simply turning from the thing.
That's right.
Not physically turning from the thing, but turning from it in your heart. Because if you turn from it in your heart, your body going to follow.
Exactly.
See, repentance isn't, I got caught, dang, I got to repent, forgive me, Father. And then next week, you go do it again,
right.
Forgive me, Father. And then next week, you go do it again, forgive me, Father. No, that's not repentance.
No.
That's playing games. And God,
exactly.
You know, God is just looking at you like, you know, you need to get yourself together.
Exactly.
But true repentance is, you know what, this thing is grieving me. And I'm tired of the way that I'm living. It got to be something more than life. And Father, help me out of this because I don't want it anymore.
Right.
Forgive me for it and cleanse me from this thing today.
Mm-hmm.
And everything within you is crying out to God for change in that area to where your life is, to where you get to a point to where that very thing just angers you when you see it.
Right.
There are some things that right now that I used to be involved in. I see them now and it just irks me. Why? Because I asked God to cleanse it from me, and now I've repented of it, I'm cleansed of it, and that I have a hatred for that thing now.
That's right.
And it'll never come back anymore.
That's right.
Ever. Amen? So repentance is completely having a change of heart. Not having a change of mind. Because if you change your mind not to do it today, then I guarantee you, if your heart's not right, when the pressure's getting hard enough, your mind will go back and say, pick it up again. I can't tell you how many people, and I don't have anything against the 12-step programs. I don't. I think they're great. Wow. But I can't tell you how many people that go to the 12-step program, be clean for 2, 3, 4, 10 years, and hit a pressure point in their life where things are just out of control because they only had a change of mind instead of a change of heart. What happens? That pressure forces them back.
Right.
Why? They had nothing in their heart.
Right.
But if they had had a change of heart, and if the Lord Jesus was now dwelling there, when the pressure hit, instead of them running back to what they used to do, they would have fallen upon there. You're going to fall upon. See, the Holy Spirit is going to always force you to your knees and you're going to cry out to God.
Amen.
So repentance is going to always pull you over to God. So stop hiding in the dark. Come on over into the light. Lord, I want newness. I want freshness.
Yes.
I want new beginnings. I've lived this way 20 years. I've lived this way 25 years.
Yes.
It's got to be something more to what I'm doing. If this is all that my life consists of, then something wrong here, because there got to be more to life. There has to be more in me than what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be more in me than what I'm doing. And God is wanting to pull it out of you. He says, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. I want to pull it out of you. Amen.